In your Bibles, please turn to the book of Romans, and you might want to also put your finger in Matthew chapter 5. Paul, in the book of Romans, for 10 chapters or 11 chapters, has given us some deep, deep spiritual truths, and now he is applying these to the everyday lives of believers. And the ultimate in the application is a true and sincere love. He tells us that love must be sincere. And that literally, the Greek word is literally without hypocrisy. In other words, from the heart, our love must flow in a genuine application to especially believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ. But now he gives us an application that I tell you is truly beyond what we can do as human beings, where he calls us to love those who are our enemies, those who intend to hurt us, and in thought, word, and deed do harm us in some way and are our enemies. We are to love those. Let's pray as we look to Romans 12 and Matthew 5. Lord, this message is hard. Not difficult to understand, but hard to receive, because the natural inclination is to think ill or respond in kind to those who hurt us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you loved us and showed the full extent of your love going to the cross for our sins, lavishing on us a mercy and grace we do not deserve. So we pray, Lord, that you would help us to complete and carry out this command, this task of yours to love even our enemies. So help us, Heavenly Father. May your Spirit take these words and drive them home to our hearts that we may receive them. And give us, Father, the power and the ability to obey these commands. To your glory, Lord, in the name of Christ our Lord, we ask. Amen. Romans 12, when we pick it up at verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now we turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. This is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. So we read verse 38. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward do you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Beloved, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. In Old Testament Israel, after King Solomon's reign, the kingdom of Israel was torn asunder and divided into the northern and southern kingdoms. The northern kingdom, under the reign of Jeroboam, though God promised him blessing if he would be faithful to the word, Jeroboam decided to set up two high places in the northern kingdom so that the people would not have to go to Judea and Jerusalem to worship. To help the people in their worship, he created two golden bulls, which were intended to represent the power and strength and might of the Lord their God. They intended to worship the true and living God. But do you see how they did it? They violated the command and became idolatrous. And from the very inception, the northern kingdom was an enemy to the true and the living God. Now, God showed his love and his kindness and mercy to the northern kingdoms by continuing to send prophet after prophet to bring the word of God to these people. Two of the prophets that were the most powerful in the might of the Lord were Elijah and Elisha. And here we have, during the ministry of Elisha, one powerful story. He would give guidance to the king of Israel when the Syrian king, or if you read in the NIV, the Arameans, the king of Aram, Syrians, the same thing. They decided they wanted to kill the king of Israel, and Elisha would warn the king, watch out for the Arameans, they'll be here. And so he was proven right. And so when the Syrians heard that this was happening, they decided to go against Elisha. So they surrounded the city of Dothan. And the servant of Elisha came out. He saw the armies of Syria with chariots and horses, and he was terrified. And Elisha said, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and the servant saw chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. And as the enemy came toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord that they would be struck with blindness, and they were struck blind. And then Elisha said to them, "You know, this isn't the road to the city. This is not the way to Dothan, but let me lead you and take you the way." And so Elisha took them not to Dothan, but to Samaria, right in the heart of Israel, the northern kingdom. And then he prayed that their eyes would be opened. And when they looked, they saw where they were, and the armies of Israel had surrounded them. So the king of Israel said, "Now, Father, shall we kill them? We have our enemy in our advantage." And what did Elisha say? "Do not kill them. Would you kill men you've captured with your own sword and bow? Instead, set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go back to their master." And so he had a great feast put before the enemies of Israel. They ate and they drank and they were sent on their way. And no longer did they come and raid Israel nor seek to kill Israel's king. Be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. You know, it's a difficult translation, and the passage can be confusing because no one can really be perfect. Not one of us. The only perfect one is the true and the living God, right in absolutely every way. We still struggle with remaining sin. The word in this case can be translated, be complete and mature, as your heavenly Father is complete. The idea, if you would be a mature Christian following God's commands, complete in every way, then you need to do what your heavenly Father does. He loves even his enemies. So do you want to be like your heavenly Father? Do you want to be like God? To be his ambassador in a lost and dying world? Be a complete and mature Christian individual? Then love your enemies as God has loved his enemies. Well, how does God show love to his enemies? Well, Jesus tells us that he blesses them with the necessities of life. The sun and the rain shine and fall upon the righteous and the unrighteous, with which then the crops are able to spring up from the earth and bring prosperity even to the wicked. So if we would truly love and be complete as Christians and truly sincere, free from hypocrisy, then we should at the very least be blessing our enemies, not cursing them. And that blessing should come from a heart, and it should begin with our prayers for those who are our enemies. So Paul tells us in Romans 12, verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Now, I'll have you note here, Paul mentions this matter of blessing twice. That's important. Twice. And when he speaks about persecution, the word means to pursue. Someone who is pursuing you actively with an intent to harm you. You know, and we all know, we learned when we were kids, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names or words, they can't hurt me. We know that's not true. We know that words do hurt. So we are called to bless and not curse. Our natural inclination is to curse and to wish our enemy harm, to see them repaid by the evil that they have perpetrated on us. We are tempted, and the natural inclination is to respond in kind. But that's not what a mature, complete Christian is to be like. And it's not that we're to just go out of our way to avoid our enemies. Listen, there's going to be times when we are in the presence of our enemies, because frequently in our own family there are people who are acting toward us as enemies. And so we are actively to be blessing them. What is a blessing? It's a benediction. We close each service on Sunday morning with a blessing from God. I lift my hands and I call you to lift your eyes heavenward and to receive God's benediction, his pronouncement of good wishes and will for you. So bless. Bless, twice mentioned, and do not curse your enemies. Here in Paul gives similar admonitions in 1 Thessalonians 5. He says, make sure, he's telling the leaders of the church and the Christians there in verse 15, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other, that is to your fellow Christian. Be kind to your brother or sister in Christ and to everyone else. You know, the act of showing kindness, being kind in our manner, our demeanor, our words, our expressions. You know, I know Susie says you have an expressive face, and there are sometimes, without words, I'm communicating something other than what I want to communicate. So be kind. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And Peter, there seems to be this tradition in the church that's not just Paul's, but Jesus and Paul and now Peter in 1 Peter 3, verse 9, verbatim. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called. Get that. When you are called to faith in Jesus Christ, you are called to be a blessing to this broken and fallen world. And that means and includes even your enemies. And why do we do this? Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you might inherit a blessing. Do you want to be blessed? Amen. Then you be a blessing to others. And that's how it works. God blesses us with spiritual gifts, with spiritual insight. He blesses us with provision and means so that we might bless others. It doesn't mean always money or material things, but with guidance, counsel, wisdom. Bless and do not curse. Think of our Lord Jesus when he was being nailed to the cross. He could say of his tormentors, lifting them up before the heavenly Father, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And we think of Stephen, the first Christian martyr, when he was being stoned to death. His final words were those of blessing upon his enemy. Instead of cursing them, Stephen cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. What a powerful thought. Do you want to be blessed? Then bless others, even your enemies. So bless and do not curse. And do not seek revenge. Do not take revenge, my friends, the apostle says, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay the Lord, says the Lord. So, yes, God blesses the unrighteous, but there will come a time when they will stand before him and have to account for their evil acts and deeds. And if they stand before God the Father, apart from the covering, atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his blood shed for us, and the righteousness that we receive by faith, a righteousness not our own, if they stand unclothed and covered in their own sin, they are doomed. So think about them. We are to be free. To take revenge means, or not to take revenge means to be free from the heart of a vengeful spirit. You know, when someone does evil to us, we might not respond in kind. We don't raise our hands to pay them back evil for the evil they've given us. But when they come to their just deserts, when we delight in that and take pleasure in that, that's not from a heart of sincere love. We shouldn't wish anybody to get what they deserve. Because what if they wished us to get what we deserved? What if God gave us what we deserve? What is it, beloved, that we deserve apart from Christ? We deserve condemnation, death, and hell. In not seeking revenge, we are not to take personally the task of seeking justice for our cause, especially in the case of a criminal act perpetrated against us. That's the role of the state. You know, do we not, you know, one of the genre of movie you see in coming from Hollywood, and we like them, don't we? You know, the protagonist who has some evil perpetrated against him, and then the system ignores his plea for help and mercy. And so what does he do? He takes matters into his own hands, and he goes and through the movie just blasting away at his enemies. You know, we watch a movie like that, and we feel good sometimes. But that's not the way of a complete and mature Christian. To delight in the fact of someone getting what they deserve is not what God intends for us. But we're to be actively pronouncing blessing. Think of how radical that is. And listen, I have a hard time with that, beloved. I am so far from being where I should be, even as your pastor. You know, Paul goes to the extent of saying what? You know, and you see Jesus turn the other cheek when someone strikes you. If they force you to go a mile, go a second mile. You know, we look at that and we think, wow, how can that be? But you know what? And we need to say to our Heavenly Father, Lord, I can't do that. You're right, you can't do that. But by the power of the Spirit, His Holy Spirit within you, you can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so, Paul, do you realize when he gives the quote, if your enemy is hungry, give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. Do you realize that comes right from the book of Proverbs? That's Proverbs 25, verses 21 and 22. And then he says something again, quoting that proverb. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Well, what does it mean? You know, this thought of heaping burning coals on your head, you know, that's, you know, if you're just imagine that, you're sitting around a campfire. You know, you got a nice fire going and crackling there, and it's winding down. And, you know, you think of the guy across the way who said some unkind things to you, and you get a shovel and you pick up some coal and douse them on the head. No, you know, you're thinking, well, I'm stoking the fires of hell. You know, that's not what's intended here. You know, the thought is this, I believe, that the burning coals on the head reflect and should represent the burning sense of shame in their perpetrating evil against you and you returning kindness for evil. They're to be moved to a sense of shame. They ought to be ashamed of themselves, and it's something that should burn in their hearts so that they will cry out for mercy themselves from the living God. So, we may be a long way from actively doing deeds of love and kindness to our enemy, giving them food, giving them water. So I suggest that we begin by praying for them. You know, that's how we can bless. We can bless them through our prayers. And in the Guideposts article, you know, I found an excellent suggestions here from this article. Five things to pray for them. First of all, thank God for them. You'll see in Paul's epistles frequently where he says, we always thank God for you when we pray for you. When we think of you, we thank God and we pray for you. Thank God for your enemies. Why? Do you realize that God is sovereign and He has placed you where you are by His sovereign will and power? So the people in your lives are there by God's design. And do you realize your enemies may just reveal your heart? The way you think and the way you respond to your enemies reveals your heart. The things that rise up when you see your enemies are the things that you need to deal with before your Heavenly Father. So thank them for what God may be trying to teach you in bringing this person across your path. And you know, as you find that you start praying for these people more and more, you will find it easier to express a sincere love for them. The second thing to pray is to this. Ask for God to help you understand them a little bit better. You know, the psalmist prayed, Lord, give me understanding that I might live. To live in this broken and fallen world, we need wisdom. And how important it is, if we are to live as a good neighbor, we need to know what our neighbors are experiencing. We need to know why this person has chosen to make us their enemy. We need to know what is the problem that they're dealing with. What is their perspective? What are the challenges? What are their hurts, their fears? So rather than respond in kind, maybe even ask them, you know, pray, God, help me to see why they are acting in this way toward me. Give me understanding. And then ask them, why? The third thing to pray for, ask for God's grace and his love to break through to them. You know, Paul, he begins Titus chapter 3, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Get that? When the kindness and grace and love of our God and Savior appeared to us. Wow. Ask God to break down the barriers between you and them and between him and them. That's a call of God. You see, the straw man of the Calvinist view is it's God alone who saves. And so what can I do to work in a person's life? It's God who has to make the gospel real to them. Well, God has ordained the means, and you're the means. We're called to pray for the people around us. God, open the eyes of their hearts. Help them to see the truth of their sin and the blessing of the gospel in Christ. Here's a prayer request for especially a believing enemy, someone who believes as you do, but yet is acting toward you like an enemy. Pray that their lives would begin to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So if you're praying for these things to be in the life of your enemy, wouldn't it be a surprise if your enemy comes to you and begins to be taking on the role of a peacemaker? Think about that. Jesus is the ultimate peacemaker, and we're called to be peacemakers. And then the fifth thing to pray for, as we consider that one day we may be called upon to give to our enemy a meal or something to drink or some other action, some other provision we can make for them, pray for the means and for the opportunity to bless them. Don't just speak words, but pray for the opportunity and the means. That is, for God to open the door. That's the language we use here at Fairfield Church. For God to open the door that we may show love to our enemies. What does that look like in particular? You know, what's the need that is there? And I tell you that a lot of times people will be saying, just give me provision, give me money, give me what I, you know. No, a lot of times people need wisdom and guidance. You know, the government just throws money at problems and look at how well that has fared. You know, we need to be understanding the problem, and we need to be wise in the way we deal with those who are hurting. So pray for God to provide the means. Pray for God to give us the opportunity. And beloved, I tell you this. You know, John Piper put it this way. It's now or never time. I want you to think about that. Now or never. It's now that we're called to love the unlovely and our enemies. Because once Christ comes, we will never have that opportunity. In the age to come, there will be no enemies to love. They will either have become our friends, or they will be suffering the pain of eternal torment in hell, cast into outer darkness. Neither we, nor Christ, nor God, the Father, nor the Holy Spirit, nor angels will love our enemies anymore. And to the degree that we are there of And to the degree that we are aware of those in hell, and you wonder, will we be aware of those in hell? I hope not. But to the degree that we are, The view will not be one of love, but it will be something that we will abhor. And so today is the day that God calls us and has appointed us to love our enemies. And either we will do it in this life or we will not do it at all. It is a revelation of God's glory in this world. It is the very thing that people need to see in us. Love for our enemies. That's an action that will speak so much louder than words. But it should begin with our prayers. That's what God will use to make people feel ashamed. The coals, burning shame in their hearts, so that they will be convicted of their sins. Loving our enemies is one of those things that people will see and they will give glory to God. And this is the only world and the only time in which this can happen. It's now or never. Bless, do not curse. Pray for those who persecute you. Do not take revenge, that you may be perfect, complete as a believer in Jesus. May this be our lot. Father, we pray for these things. This is a hard message, one we cannot fulfill, Lord, apart from your grace. So we ask that you would help us to understand our enemy. We thank you for bringing them into our lives. We thank you for the sin in our own hearts that is revealed. We ask for your mercy and forgiveness, Lord. And we pray that we might understand better their situation. So, Lord, give us an opportunity. May our anger be quenched, and may we, as far as it is possible with us, to be at peace with them and to communicate with them, to ask them why, O Lord, they are behaving such against us. And we pray for this too, Father, that where we can, Lord, where we can relieve pain or suffering or misery, we pray for that open door. We pray for the means to help and for the opportunity to present itself, Father, to show in tangible ways love to our enemies. Lord, this is one of the greatest things to which you've called us, the hardest things. But we are reminded continually that you loved us and blessed us while we were yet your enemies. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.